proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, Christmas is indeed a time of joy and celebration. It's a time of celebrating God's great gift to us, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't think we can truly appreciate the magnitude of God's gift to us unless we understand the reason why Christ came into the world in the first place. Now, here's a joyous Christmas message for you once again here this morning. I've got some news for you. You are corrupt, and I am corrupt. You know, when we look at the world around us, we wonder, what in the world is wrong with this world? What is going on here? Well, the problem is me, and the problem is you. The problem is every human being and the corruption that is at the core of our being. The Scripture calls that sin, falling short of the righteousness, the holiness, the moral standard of God. We all fall short. Because we are sinners, God, who is holy and righteous, must judge that. And the penalty for that is death and hell. But because God is love, He sent a Savior who took that punishment on Himself so that we wouldn't have to, so that we could have new life and hope. But the truth is that I am depraved in my sinful nature. And there was proof of it just last night that I want to tell you about. Now, there's someone here this morning who doesn't know this, and she may be finding this out right now, even as we speak. We went Christmas caroling last night, and we were going about from house to house. We had a wonderful time doing that. But we got to this one particular house, and as we were leaving this one particular house, on the kitchen counter there was a tray full of those round powder cookies. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm going to blame it on someone else, because someone else started it, okay? But someone else, as we were walking out, just helped themselves to one of those little round powder cookies and put it in her mouth and walked out and said, "Thank you, Cindy, for the cookie." I don't think Cindy heard it. Well, I saw that. I said, "Boy, those look pretty good." So I helped myself. Without asking, I took what did not belong to me, what had not been offered to me. I took one of those little round powder cookies. But wouldn't you know it, just as I was about to put it into my mouth, it slipped out of my hand. It hit my jacket, my coat, and white powder just went all over the front of my jacket. And it was at that point when I realized the truth that indeed, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, we may chuckle about something like that. But the truth is that indeed our sin does find us out, doesn't it? And it will be judged. Sin results in God's judgment. God's judgment on our corruption is death and hell. But the good news is that God promised a Savior. He knew that we would fall into sin. He knew that we would need a Savior. And He promised to send a Messiah, a deliverer, in whom all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. All the peoples of the earth. That's all the peoples of all time. Every nation and tribe throughout all time. That's you and me here this morning. Scripture speaks of this Messiah coming in two different phases. The first time was to offer Himself up as a sacrifice for our sin. But it also speaks of another coming, a second time when Messiah, the deliverer, will come into the world. But this time He will come into the world to judge the world, to establish His millennial kingdom, and then to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. But today we want to reflect on that first coming of the Messiah. The Christmas story from beginning to end. We saw the problem, our corruption. We saw the promise, God would send a Messiah deliverer. And today, then, the first coming of Messiah, our deliverer. His birth is what we celebrate at Christmas. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. We see that Jesus is the Messiah deliverer, and he gives all who believe in him eternal life and hope. Now, this Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John, one of Jesus' original 12 disciples. And as he is writing this Gospel, it is several decades after the other Gospels have been written. What are the other Gospels? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's right. So those have been written, and now several decades have passed. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, inspires John, the Apostle John, to write this Gospel. Now for John, all of his fellow apostles are gone. They're dead. They died a martyr's life, a martyr's death. You remember what Jesus said shortly after his resurrection? Where he said that all of them would die except John. And that had happened. Now, John had suffered for his faith. He had been persecuted. And he would eventually be exiled to the island of Patmos, where he would write the book of Revelation. You know, I'm sure that his memories of Jesus and his fellow disciples, his fellow apostles, were bittersweet memories. And now here he was, the last one of them remaining in this life, on this earth. And no doubt there must have been times of loneliness for him. But then, how his heart must have been filled with joy when he contemplated his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would not be long before he too would join Jesus in heaven. But before he left this earth, God used John to give us a wonderful, unique presentation of Jesus, the Son of God, and his ministry. John wrote a gospel which is composed of material that is 90% unique, 90% different than what we see in the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John gives us a powerful and sweeping portrait of the divine Son of God and his mission to redeem lost people. As we read these first 18 verses of his gospel, would you listen carefully here to this powerful description of Jesus? What does John tell us about who Jesus is, who he is, and what he's come to do in these opening verses? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' And from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Promise, God will send a Messiah deliverer in whom all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. In this Messiah, everyone, every tribe, nation would be blessed. I wonder, Messiah, what is a Messiah? Messiah is a Hebrew word. Christ is a Greek word. They mean the same thing. Hebrew and Messiah, the Greek Christ, both mean the anointed one. What is an anointed one? It means one who is set apart for a special purpose or mission and has the anointing or the hand of God, the blessing of God on that person for a special mission. A deliverer, a savior who rescues from imminent danger, oppression, or destruction. And that perfectly describes the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? What he came to do. He is the anointed one. Came into the world to rescue us from imminent danger, from oppression, from destruction. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus, Messiah. John gave us a wonderful description of Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, in these opening verses of his gospel. What do we see about Jesus, who he is, and what he came to do from these verses? See that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. Now you might think that's a very strange or unusual description for Jesus, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word. What does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus is the expression of God, how God revealed himself. For example, if you wanted to reveal yourself to someone, there's lots of ways you might communicate. The primary way that we communicate, that we reveal ourselves, what is in us, in our hearts, in our minds, how do we reveal what is in our hearts and minds to others? We use words, don't we? We use speech. So a word simply means an expression, a revealing of something. And so the Word of God, God revealed himself by words. The Old Testament scripture is the Word of God. But Jesus Christ is the supreme Word of God, the supreme expression of God. And that's what it means when we say he was the Word. He was the expression or revelation of God. Jesus Christ, then, is the Word who expressed God to us. But he is also God. We see the mystery of the Trinity, with that three persons and one God. How many gods are there? One, right? But there is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. God eternally existing in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father or the Son, and so forth. Separate and distinct, and yet only one God. Now, as soon as someone can fully explain that to me, you know, you're welcome, you know, to come up and try. But we never really will fully comprehend that, will we? But God, the eternal God, the one God eternally existing as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so in the beginning, the Word of God, Jesus, the Son of God, was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. He was not a God. He was God. And Jesus Christ is the Creator. He is the Creator of all things. It says that nothing that came into being, nothing that has been made, was made apart from Him. Some would say, well, Jesus was made by God, God the Father. No. Jesus is the Creator. Some of you might never have thought about that or realized that, but did you know that Jesus is not only your Savior, He is your Maker as well? Jesus, the Word of God, is God, is the Creator of all things. John also tells us that Jesus Christ is life and light. Now, I wonder if you read through these opening verses here of John chapter 1, does this ring a little familiar to you with another book in the Scriptures, some of the phrases, some of the words there? Does that sound like another book of the Bible to you, perhaps in the Old Testament? Anybody have any idea what that might be? Genesis. Excellent. You know, Dennis is going to be coming up here and preaching, we think. Right, Dennis? We're talking about it. So that's good. But if you notice that sounds a little familiar to Genesis, you're right. That's deliberate, and that's by design. If you go back and look at John again, he says what? In the beginning. How does Genesis start, the first book? In the beginning. Just in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John says, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. So you see the beginning, the Creator motif. But then you also then see this language here of life and light and darkness. Do you see descriptions and the use and the idea of light, of life, of light and darkness in Genesis? Absolutely. So in effect, John is writing a New Testament book of origins. Genesis is the book of origins. And so John is giving us another take, if you will, on our beginnings, presenting the Son of God. He's the Word of God. He is God. He's the Creator of all things. And He is life and light. Now, you know there is physical life. There is physical light. We have physical life. We can see one another because of the presence of physical light. And Jesus, as the Creator, of course, is the giver of physical life and light. But is that what John is talking about here when he says that Jesus Christ is life and light? No, there's something more, isn't there? Something else. He's talking about moral and spiritual life, eternal life, that He is the moral light that shines in the darkness. You know, when we speak of the darkness of a person's heart, the darkness of the world, we're not talking about a physical light or a physical darkness, we're talking about a moral darkness, aren't we? And so Jesus Christ then is life. He's spiritual life. He's eternal life. And He is light. He is the moral light that shines in the moral darkness of the world. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, He is God, the Creator of all things, is life and He's light. And He is also then, too, the fulfillment. He is the fulfillment of prophecy. He speaks of John. Now, John's not talking about himself here. That's one of the things, you know, we have a lot of different names today, don't we, in our world? Well, in biblical times, they had different names too, of course, but unfortunately, they didn't have last names, and a lot of people had the same first name, so it gets a little confusing. There's like 5 different Marys in the New Testament. Mary was a popular name then. Well, there are several Johns in the New Testament as well. So we're talking about John, the disciple of Jesus, the apostle of Jesus. He is the author here. And now he speaks of a man named John. He's not referring to himself. He's referring to John the Baptist. Right. Now, some of you might think John was a Baptist, but I thought he was a Methodist. No, he wasn't a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian. He's actually John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer. But he was the forerunner to Messiah. John was. And he went out and he proclaimed to prepare the way of the Lord. That Messiah was coming into the world. The one who was the fulfillment of prophecy, this long-awaited and expected Messiah deliverer was coming. He was coming now into the world, and John was the forerunner to announce it ahead of him. So John said, prepare the way. And how do we prepare for the coming of Messiah? Repentance, right? So John had a message of repentance and preparation for the coming of Messiah. Because before you can receive Messiah, you must first repent, turn away from sin. And that was the message of John. So the scriptures prophesied that this forerunner would come, and John was the fulfillment of that, and John announced the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy. So Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus Christ, we know too, was unrecognized. Isn't that incredible? It says, John says he came into the world, he made the world, he made all things, and then he came into the world and he was not recognized. His very own creation did not recognize him as the Creator. I don't know about you, but I think, boy, if I was going to come into the world, if I was in heaven and I was going to come into the world, just me speaking here, I think I'd want to come in with a lot of pomp and circumstance and glory and all of that, wouldn't you? And if you were God, you'd deserve it, wouldn't you? But he didn't come that way. He came humbly. He became one of us and humbled himself such that he wasn't even recognized as God. He wasn't given the glory that he was due by all. So Jesus then fulfilled prophecy. He was unrecognized. And then it even goes so far as to say then too, he was not received by his own. Who are his own? Well, Jesus Christ was Jewish. And his own is his own people, the Jewish people. He was and is the Jewish Messiah. But of course, he isn't the Messiah only for the Jews, is he? He is the Messiah for all the world. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through the Jewish Messiah. But Jesus, the Messiah, came to his own people. They did not receive him. And since they didn't receive him, it means that they didn't believe in him. They didn't believe that he was Messiah, accept him as Messiah. Now, some people did, didn't they? There were individuals, plenty of individuals who did. But as a nation, they did not. They not only they did not believe him, they didn't receive him, they crucified him. Now, of course, this was God's plan, wasn't it? He knew that he would be rejected, and Jesus would die for sin. The scripture says he was slain from the foundation of the world. But those who do receive him, though, there's something else. He was not received by his own, but he gives the right to all who receive him, to who believe in him. He gives them the right to become children of God. Children of God. You know, all of us are born. Everyone in here has been born. You've been born into this world. And when you were born into this world, you became a child of your parents, a member of the human race, a member of the family of the human race. when you were born the first time. But Scripture speaks, though, of a need for us to be born a second time, to be born again. It's a spiritual birth in which we are born into the family of God. We become children of God, intimately related to Him, His sons and His daughters, by faith. So John tells us then that all who believe, who receive Him, put their confidence and trust in Him as Messiah, Deliverer. He gives us then the right to become children of God. Born the first time into our human families, born the second time into God's family. Children of God. Jesus Christ then too is the God-man. Jesus is not just God, and He is not only human. Jesus is God, and Jesus is human. Fully, completely God, fully and completely human. You know, Jesus is not God walking around in a human body, period. Jesus is God with a human body and a human spirit. He is fully human. He is just as human as you or me, yet without sin. Well, how do you combine the nature of God and human nature together into this one person? I don't know, but the guy who has the answer for the Trinity, you can work on that one next then. But Scripture clearly proclaims that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is man. He's human. He is the God-man. Two natures, one person. That's what the Scriptures mean when it says the Word became flesh. He became human. He became one of us. And He made His dwelling among us. He is also the giver of grace. Scripture says the law came through Moses. The law is God's righteous requirements. And God revealed that through Moses, the Old Testament prophets. But I want to ask you, when you are told, don't do this, what's the first thing you want to do? To do it, what you were told not to do, right? Now that doesn't make the commandment not to do something wrong or evil, but somehow just being told don't do something has a power to stir up within us that desire that wants to do the wrong, doesn't it? And so the law of God, as Paul talks extensively about this in Galatians and Romans, says the law, God's righteous and holy requirements, is good and holy, but it has no power within it to enable us to do the good, does it? We can't obey it. It's good, but we're told, do this. And we can't do it. We're told, don't do that, and we find ourselves drawn powerfully to it. The law of Moses, God's law, has no power to save. It only has the power to reveal who we are and the power to condemn us. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace is what saves us. Being told what to do can't save us. It takes God's grace, His gift. It's a gift of His to forgive and be given the power to live a holy and righteous life through His Spirit. Grace and truth came through Christ. The law cannot save us. Only Christ could in His grace. Grace came through Christ. Grace only can redeem us. One final description of Jesus here is that Jesus is the revealer of God. John says that no one has ever seen God. Now, wait a minute. I thought people saw God. Did Moses when he was up on the mountain? And that is what he's saying is that no one has ever seen God full and complete in His essence. Yes, people have had glimpses of God, but no one has seen Him in His awesome, infinite glory and power. But the Son of God, he has revealed him. He has revealed him in a way that the prophets couldn't. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, Jesus Christ, is God. He who is at the Father's side has made him known. He has revealed God to us. A question for you here this morning. Have you recognized who Jesus truly is? I think most of us have here, but maybe for someone else, you're thinking, what? Jesus is God? Yes. Jesus created me? He made me? Yes. He's the only way? The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus? Yes. Says the world, he came into the world that he had made, and the world didn't recognize him. Well, you know, people don't recognize him today either, do they? Maybe they say, oh, he was a great teacher. He was a prophet. He was whatever. They still don't recognize him. Yes, he was a prophet. Yes, he was a teacher. But he was God and man, the Messiah, the Deliverer, who must be received by faith. Have you recognized who Jesus is, and have you received him? You receive him simply means to believe that you've put your trust in him, your confidence in him. Say, I do believe, Jesus, that you are my Deliverer. I know. I know that I'm corrupt, that I have this sinful nature that wants to do the wrong. I know I can't always do the right that you require. And I know there's a judgment for that. But I do believe that Jesus came for me, that he gave his life for me, that he took the punishment for my sin on himself, that he died, that he rose again. So, Lord, I repent, I turn from the wrong and the sin, and I embrace that. I receive you, Jesus. I believe. Many of you do recognize him, and you have received him. You have believed him. But do you make it your life mission and your life purpose every day to worship him, to obey him? I don't perfectly obey him. I wish I did. But by the power of the Spirit, we're walking day by day in that. And that's what God calls us to. One day he is going to completely perfect me. He's going to completely perfect you. We're never going to be tempted again. We'll never sin again. Have glorious new bodies. Are you looking forward to that? He is worthy daily of our worship and our obedience. So we worship him by giving him thanks, by proclaiming his goodness and his grace to others, by obeying him. And when we sin, when we do the wrong, we confess it immediately. We receive his cleansing. And we keep moving forward in the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Word of God, you willingly put aside your throne, your glory, the honor that was richly due. You humbled yourself. You came into this world, you came into this world as a tiny baby, helpless, vulnerable, born to a poor couple, grew up in a poor town, took a trade as a carpenter, was not recognized for who you were by this world. You perfectly obeyed the Heavenly Father. You did for us what we could never do. Perfectly fulfilled the good and the holy and the righteous law. And then, Word of God, Lord Jesus, you took upon yourself the punishment for our sin. You died and you rose again. And you're coming again. You're coming again in glory and power. Lord, thank you for this grace bestowed on us in Jesus Christ. If there is someone here, Lord, who perhaps is understanding this for the first time, has truly believed, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for that. Lord, we do believe. We do give thanks for sending our Savior. And we look forward, Lord, eagerly to what still remains in this glorious plan of redemption. We pray now in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.